ladies and gentlemen, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast back on the airwaves from the MHK, Manhattan, Kansas, Eddie Gritter III. 3Wide NASCAR podcast, all but launched in the world of motorsports, talking about getting outdoor truck series, Xfinity series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR, folks. Recording this episode on a Monday, obviously, February 10th, 2020. And yes, this is the race reaction edition of the podcast. Yep, going back to back this week. And before we move on in through this episode, of course, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. You can find it wherever you download your podcast from, wherever it's from. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, y'all know what it is. Stitcher, Audio Boom, SoundCloud. And I'm getting a lot of followers here past several days. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddie. Again, folks, at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter, folks. And yeah, so we have a jam-packed less than an hour episode. It's going to be usually this episode's going to be about 30 to 40 minutes around there somewhere. So jam-packed with some information of the first week of Speed Weeks in the books. Also, Big D here just checked in as well, the producer of this podcast as well. So I mentioned back-to-back. Yep, we're going to do it back-to-back. So this episode, race reaction from Daytona, first week of Speed Weeks anyways, will be up tomorrow, Tuesday. And then, of course, our usual episode, weekly episode, which is a big one, we'll go up Wednesday. It was already pre-recorded on last Friday with our special guest in over the phone. So definitely, really looking forward to that episode being posted up and you guys listen to it as well. And of course, this reaction from obviously the action, what took place over the weekend, is going out tomorrow. So let's just dive right on in chronological order here. Folks, we're going to go right to the low side here, and Kevin Harvick, folks, Kevin Harvick re-signed with SHR over the weekend, and his deal was originally up, I believe it was after 2021, I believe, I'm not mistaken. Now, he re-ups that deal, let's just add two more years to the deal, to 2023, and the Athletic article that was posted out, that was released over the weekend as well, talking about Harvick and the decline of age. Obviously, David Smith obviously knows what he's talking about with those numbers when it comes to that. That's his good analysis right there. But, however, 40, guessing what he is now, 43 or 44 Harvick is right now, and all, I did not see this coming, obviously. And with all the expectations that simulations that Harvick after 2021 that he was going to go to the booth, but nope, he's going to stay in a race car, and I do not blame him on it. And part of that article said that Kevin wants to spend more time with family and cutting back the time up in the booth. So Kevin already had a plan, apparently, moving forward through this. So with that being said, now Harvick being really now the stone of the organization, really, he's been all about Harvick here over the past, 5-6 years now over there. He's the only driver that's done something over there other than outside of Tony Stewart, obviously the owner and driver for that organization, who retired a few years ago, and now Stewart is in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, he's the only guy that's done something. I mean, you got Kurt Busch. He had Kurt Busch over there. He won a couple races here and there. Clint Bowyer, obviously, he won a couple of races 2 years ago. Struggled last year. Almirola, same thing. Finally got off the hump the year before last year. And then he had Daniel Suarez last year. Didn't fill the tank. And he's off the Gant brothers and having to race his way in to the 500 on Thursday. And now you have the Prodigy and Cole Custer in that ride. 41 ride, and that's going to be interesting to watch this year. As we've noted all offseason long, it's not the offseason anymore. It is game time, folks. Sunday, the Daytona 500 going down on Fox. So, Harvick, yeah, he's definitely the stone, and he's going to be right there in the mix. Now, obviously, if Cole Custer is still there along those years as well, you never know. You never know. We saw what happened with Suarez and Daniel Hemric. You never know about these things, but I'm pretty sure Cole Custer is right up where Gene Haas and Tony Stewart, right where they want to be with him. He's going to be around. We don't know. Obviously, Bowyer, this is a make-or-break year for him after coming off the two wins in 18. You got to think that this right here for him. This is make-or-break season for him. I've called him out several times. And then you got Eric Almirola, very disappointing year for him after really a breakthrough season in 2018. And you go through a year like that. So, yeah, a lot is going to be, especially with the crew chief changes among all those drivers, except for, of course, Kevin Harvick and Ronnie Childers. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 Eddie Gritter III here with you guys. On this Monday recording, the race reaction edition of the podcast. Now, I was thinking about I probably lost the name of it. I have to go back through the past episodes to recatch that. But for right now, we're just rolling with the punches here. The race reaction edition, weekend edition of the podcast here. And week one of Daytona Speedweeks in the books. And yeah, I'm going to get to the clash here, summarize that up in a little bit for sure. So I got a lot to get off my chest on that. But yeah, Kevin Harvick, folks, re-sign with Stuart Haas Racing through 2023. That puts him at the age of 47 at that time, Lord willing, if he gets to that point. But yeah, definitely for them to lock up their franchise driver since 2014, locking him up. And what else you got to say from there? He's been really the alpha dog for that organization. So unless somebody else steps up here with Harvick and runs with him, you see Joe Gibbs all the time. Joe Gibbs Racing with their competitive four drivers, Kyle, Busch, Hamlin, Truex, Jones in there. They're all competitive. They're all run up front, leading laps to some extent. So you wonder, yes, we saw Stuart Haas do that a couple years ago, fell off the map last year. I've said that a million times in this part of the show. But hey, it's true, and we'll just have to see what happens here as we get this thing kicked off. The regular season kicks off officially on Sunday. 3-Wide Podcast rolls along, and we're going to stay on a low groove. That's where Ricky Stenhouse Jr. did for JTG Doherty Racing, and huge statement, absolutely a huge statement for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., not only for himself, but that whole organization getting a huge boost yesterday before the crash in the class happened, went down yesterday. Stenhouse made this huge statement yesterday in Daytona 500 front row qualifying, scoring the pole. And with that, scoring his third pole with JGR and his first on an oval, Stenhouse broke a streak of 5 straight poles of Hendrick drivers, even though that machine, that engine, was Hendrick affiliated, broke that streak. Obviously, all eyes were paying attention on the 24, Byron, Jimmy Johnson, Alex Bowman, for the second straight year, from my account anyways, scores a front row seat. He's going to be starting second regardless of what happens, unless, of course, these guys get in a wreck in the duels on Thursday. You do not want to do that. But Stenhouse, we all know he's good on these speedway tracks, right? We knew this going in, no surprise. This wasn't really, from my vantage point, in my opinion, No surprise here. We all know he's good. And, of course, Brian Patti reunites with Stenhouse with the new organization, obviously making a swap pretty much over from Roush to JTG Doherty and Stenhouse. Now, you know he's going to be right up there in the mix. And you got to consider one of the many favorites at the 500 on Sunday. There's no way, you know, you're going to have to deal with the 47 of Stenhouse. Huge, huge momentum boost for Ricky Stenhouse. You have to what happened last year, obviously, getting the boot from Jack Ross, and he didn't even know it until Bristol last year, and he was pissed about that. So Stenhouse says, take that. He makes the first punch there in the 2020, making that happen there. And Alex Bowman, obviously, getting that boost from Henrik Motorsports, obviously, in the inches they produce year in, year out. You know they're going to be a threat for the pole every single time they hit the high banks of Daytona. He's going to start second. We know that part. Stenhouse, Bowman, 1-2. Daytona 500 Sunday on Fox. The rest of the field will be set on where they finish at the duels. Duel 1, Duel 2 on Thursday. Obviously, Duel number 1 will have the inside line, the fast way along the racetrack. Duel 2 will set the high side right there. Outside rows for those spots. And obviously, I mentioned Daniel Suarez leading the raceway in. I do not have those. I'm not even gonna go through those sheets here tonight. But obviously, Suarez needing to make it in. And so we'll have to see. It's gonna be interesting there for him. So Daniel Suarez was a lock in last year in that 41 ride. It's doing a whole 180. You gotta race your way in to get yourself into the 500. Man, that's going to be stressful times right there for Suarez and company right there. So that's going to be an interesting field right there. We will see what happens there at the duels coming up. Now moving to the middle groove and talk about the ARCA race, what I saw. This is the second half of it over the weekend. With the ARCA Series race, obviously Michael Self winning the Daytona for the second straight year there, and Self fell to Christian Eckes last year in the ARCA Series Championship. Back again, trying to get it back. But story out of here, obviously, other than Michael Self, was, of course, none other than Haley Deegan scoring a runner-up finish. Runner-up finish there. At Daytona, I want to call it first start because she got some laps on the road course at Daytona a week prior at the Rolex 24, getting some laps underneath her and things like that. And when I switched over from basketball to to the rest of the ARCA race there, I forgot who I was watching. I think it was the Florida disaster there in basketball, but losing to a under 500 team. Yeah, that's a three wide segment right there. But Haley Deegan, well, I turned it right as she turned number 11 to the wall at the backstretch. I turned it right as she turned 11 into the wall there. The 11 car, I don't know who was in that car. He was not happy with what Haley did there, but I'm not going to say anything with that there. But hey, number 4 was rolling and rolling fast, and she was definitely impressive. I tweeted that out over the weekend there, finish, and her goal was to get a top 5 in there, finish in there somewhere in that category, and she did exactly that. And she's going to be she's full time in the ARCA Series, Big D. And ladies and gentlemen, yeah, she's going to be right in the mix for a possible win or two in the ARCA Series season this year. And definitely background is dirt, obviously, and short tracks. And she already has quite a few wins already come on the come up, making the switch over from Toyota to Ford. We talked about that in the offseason. So you got to feel really excited for the opportunity, for the chance that she is going to make some more headways here. The season is very young, and second place is not too bad. I really thought that if with some more help there, she didn't make a move on Self. She did not get the help that she needed there. Obviously, the cars were too spread out there. And the pack was obviously too short. 5-6 car breakaway there. Riley Hurst of note there. You're going to see Riley in the Xfinity Series this year full-time with Joe Gibbs Racing on Saturday with the Xfinity Series opener. Hurst couldn't do anything there with the cars he was dealing with there. But the cars, the top five cars, they were too spread out there. And there's nothing Haley could have done there. All she could have done was stay behind the leader there. And those cars would have closed up a little bit. It would have been interesting to find out what Haley would have done right there if she had some help. Obviously, Tanner Gray. Lost Tanner Gray there late with engine problems there for Tanner Gray, which we're going to see him in the Truck Series race. He's full-time, if I said that correctly. Tanner Gray, in again, Outdoor Truck Series. So a lot of these faces we got to start paying attention to. And obviously, we know what Haley Deegan can bring to the table, and pumped up to see what she has up her sleeve next. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. EG3 from the MHK, folks. We are rolling right along on this reaction weekend from Daytona. And now I finally get to the race yesterday. The crash at the Clash from Daytona International Speedway. Yeah. I did not watch this race. I listened after we got done. Me and the wife got done spending most of the day with our birth mom. Hopped on, after we got done with our lunch there down in Wichita, Kansas, which is 2 hours away from Manhattan. Hopped on, listened to the radio on the way back from Wichita, and here with Rusty Wallace, Kyle Ricci, Mike Bagley, and them guys up there, Jeff Striegel and those guys up there. And I did not listen to the final laps, DVR'd it, went back to watch the finish of that race. And I tell you, man, I'm going to shoot it straight. And for loyal listeners out who've been listening, you know I'm going to shoot it straight. Those listening for the first time or been in and out, yeah, you're going to get a little bit of a rant here, folks, from EG3. I'm disappointed. Disappointed and not. Yes, obviously, Martin Truex Jr. did not finish the race, another speedway race again, due to getting clipped by an outside guy there, which ended his chances there. He was sitting third, and the restart was turned bonkers there. And then the 3-wide Keselowski, woo! He was hot underneath the car. I'd never seen him that pissed off before, but this race was disappointing. I mean, okay, so a rare sight. I did not see this, but listen to the radio. Martin Truex Jr. leading at a speedway race. First time in quite some time. That put a smile to my face there. But other than that, you know, this race, the race was not, this was not good. I mean, this is, we're at a point now in this generation that, okay, I mean, these drivers want to do anything they can to win races at this type of track. Obviously, we've seen it over the past 4 or 5 years. And on top of that, you know, all of a sudden, second straight race in a row, we see, well, really, actually, I shouldn't say that. Let me put it this way. Again, we saw manufacturer team orders again, Chevrolet going to work immediately. And then at the end of the race, that backfired, and which they should have won the race, given that a torn up ass race car won the race. And Eric Jones, again, winning at Daytona for the second time. Obviously, the Clash is not a points paying race, but the last time the settings on a speedway track in Daytona was like that. Yeah, we saw a lot of cars messed up. And 2 years ago in prime time, Eric Jones won the race in under lights, which was his first win, by the way. Now you turn around a year and change later, and he's right there in the mix again, getting help from a damaged car and teammate Denny Hamlin, who was a lap down to win the race there. And so you would have thought that Chevrolet, going through all that trouble, and Chevrolet, who called him out last year, Chevrolet, you know, doing whatever it is they were doing at Talladega a few months ago, they're trying to do T-Motors or whatnot in front of national audience there. That was not well planned at all. Here, Team Orders trying to do something different than Toyota and the Fords. And at the end of the day, they had Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon, in my opinion, had the cleanest car out there. And I don't know how in the world he did not win this race. No damage whatsoever. Yes, he escaped all the wrecks. You put him yourself in position to win this race and didn't get it done. I mean, I don't know how he missed an opportunity there. You let a car that is pretty much, I'm not going to use, that's not the word I'm going to use, it's not appropriate. Big D, don't do it. Don't do it. And yeah, I just don't know. I went back to the DVR, watched the final overtime restart. I had to listen to majority of the race on MRN on the drive home. Rusty Wallace was not happy. Obviously, you know Rusty's going to give his opinion. He was not happy about the racing, about all these cars crashing all over the place. This is a pattern. You know it's going to happen. A pattern that, all right, these drivers, we're going to take it easy for the first half of the race, and then with less than 25 to go, we'll just start acting like, we'll just lose our minds and start getting crazy and not know what the hell we're doing on the racetrack, and just start making dumbass moves with what Brad Keselowski said yesterday, pretty much pissed off, calling out Joey Logano with all these blocks, even though, give credit to Keselowski. Keselowski, he's been underneath the heat doing that as well. And he owned up to it 100%. I give him total credit for that. And then it's funny that these guys, Joey, Ryan Blaney, who was a part of the mess, Chase Elliott, but focusing on Penske for a second, folks. Blaney, Keselowski, Logano. I listened to a recent episode of one of the podcasts. These guys are laughing and jiving around. And the next thing you know, turn around a few days later, they're all pissed off at each other. Well, mainly Keselowski and Logano for what Logano did. You know Joey Logano is going to throw whatever he can to win races there. And preseason race right there, I just don't think, you know, this is, I mean, I had my head down when Jeff Striegel called Truex's name out. And they were on the ugly ass restart. Yeah, I had my head down and I just shook my head. I mean, outside of Truex, I mean, yeah, he still hasn't finished a play. Yeah, I said play race, a speedway race in a long ass time. But it's just not, other than that, I was disappointed in other cars that are in there. I mean, Newman did not pit or whatever. They stayed out and did not get going or whatever. And restart went just to hell. I mean, it's bad. This is just bad. I mean, you're throwing away a lot of money. And listening to the teardown early this morning during work, or yeah, I travel during work, yes, for work, and doing deliveries. And God, I tell you, man, I'm with Jeff Gluck on that. I tell you, you know, the priest in the race, you're throwing money in the garbage can, whatnot. I mean, 2021, we don't even know what the schedule's going to be. Yeah, you can throw. Yeah, I'm to the point now where you can just throw this race absolutely in a dumpster fire. I mean, drivers losing their minds, don't know how to drive. You got guys, experienced guys wrecking the whole field last year. Jimmy Johnson did that this year. And it all started with Kyle Busch not happy. Keselowski mad at his own teammate Logano there trying to go three wide. No pun intended. This is a three wide NASCAR podcast. EG3 rolling along here on the high groove with the clash here. The clash yesterday. Is this not good? I mean, you got to be honest with yourself, folks. You want to watch a bunch of cars crashing? You might as well just go to Demolition Derby to do all that. I mean, you want to watch cars crash and get torn up, get messed up, go to Demolition Derby. Watch that stuff. I mean, this is NASCAR. This is what you want to watch. You pay tickets for to see a good racing. Not all this carnage, torn up race cars that we are now all of a sudden really pretty much are accustomed to now. And we're probably going to see this in the 500. I mean, tell it what it is. tell it what it is. I mean, am I wrong? No, I am not wrong. And this is bad. It is bad for what it is. Yeah, Erik Jones won, and I called out him out that he needed to get off to a good start. And yes, and I don't know how in the hell that Erik Jones pulled that off. Obviously, he had a teammate there in Hamlin, and Denny Hamlin's not there. These guys with record race cars acting like this is a points paying race out here. You gotta give these teams credit who finished the race. I mean, this could have been really bad with three cars finishing this race. This would have been real bad luck. I mean, how can you say this is a good look for NASCAR? Yes, it's a preseason race. Yeah, I can say, oh, Eddie's talking about this is the only preseason race, Eddie, EG3. Screw that. This is not what you want right here. I mean, at some point, you have to. And I mean, back in the old school days, yes, back in 01, back in those times right there, you know, put on good racing. I mean, Talladega, Daytona, this was where I enjoyed good, just plain, hard fashion racing, back and forth, side by side race, without wrecking each other all day long. That's, and now that you turn the page over to this generation wants to act crazy and lose their minds. Oh my goodness, we gotta get the win. I mean, yeah, I mean, for the exception, maybe 5 laps to go, probably, but with 15 to go, 20 to go, or matter of fact, really, 50 to go, I mean, yes, I'm not an actual NASCAR driver, yes, but I'm a fan, and I still will be a fan, but damn, I mean, this is not producing, I mean, yes, this is not producing good entertainment. This is not good entertainment at all. I mean, yeah, I had my head down. And I had my head down again there. Denny Hamlin there. Mike Bagley, I think, called it. And called it perfectly, actually. Saved it. And then all of a sudden, just lost it again. And then everybody just went to hell after that. So, you know, yes, Erik Jones, your winner from the crash to clash yesterday. In Daytona International Speedway, winning that race right there. And yeah, that finish right there, I laughed out loud when I saw that visually right there. And when the final laps there, Erik Jones getting pushed, that's old school. Yes, Hamlin was a lap down there, but that took me back to this two car tandem racing there that we saw, which was not really good racing either. So yeah, you ask me, folks, I don't know how in the world Kyle Larson led at a point there in the waiting moments in was the fourth overtime. Wow, that's crazy. Fourth overtime, Kyle Larson did not hold it. And after all that, Team Chevrolet had two cars out there and failed to win this race. Shame on them not to win this race. Yeah, and Austin Dillon, you missed all his wrecks right there. You have a pretty ass car still with no damage. How do you not win that race? I don't know. I have no idea. But Erik Jones wins the 2020 Busch Clash, or we can say it now, Crash at the Clash, baby. So yeah, it's just not good. It's not good racing. I wonder what's gonna happen at the 500. Same thing, probably. Probably until otherwise, till they get to them guys prove me wrong. I mean, saw it last year, big one, and then we saw it again. I mean, it's a survival of the fittest right here, baby. When it comes to Daytona for some reason, I don't know. People act crazy, losing their damn minds. I mean, until proven otherwise, this is what we're going to see. The 500, we're going to see the same damn thing. People, drivers throwing blocks, and then we get to a point in race that, all right, let's just start losing our minds and just act like we haven't been here before. And just throw stupid moves, whether it's at the front or the back of the pack or whatever, trying to make a pass or whatever it is. It's just not what it is. So I mean, you see the trends, folks. I'm not lying. So y'all see it. So 500 is going to be the same thing, unless proven otherwise, that these guys can race clean to a certain extent where they do not have to wreck each other and get pissed off at each other. This is the way it is. 3 wide EG3 here from Manhattan, Kansas, Eddie Greer, third few minutes here in a reaction edition of the podcast, folks. Yeah, it's a lot, folks. So miscellaneous items here I had for a second here. Yeah, K-State losing at Iowa State over the weekend there. And yeah, I wanted to get to this for closing out the podcast. And yeah, I put the 3-wide notice there. Now I'm drawing a blank here. Anyways, yeah, Cartier Jada was called out by Fran Fraschilla last week during Baylor's visit to K-State. Baylor was number one and still is number one there. And yeah, Fran Fraschilla was all over Cartier Jada for like 5 minutes during the ESPN2 broadcast there last Monday, actually, right here in the same spot. Darren Cartier Jada was not happy with that, saying, you know, he's focused and whatnot. There's been, here in Manhattan, Kansas, there's been just a lot, and this is the miscellaneous item here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast on this race reaction edition of the podcast. But yeah, he's been a lot of scrutiny. I've called him out multiple times on this podcast here. And yeah, I mean, the record shows we're a bad basketball team. And I've said it over and over, talked with a few friends of mine that follow K-State pretty closely, the basketball team, and it's not in a good state right now. Yes, we have a good recruiting class and all that. There's been a lot of hype about that all year because of the way this basketball team is not playing. So, and Fran went out his way really for a few minutes to really throw Cartier Jada under the bus there. And hey, I don't know what's really going on, but yeah, I mean, we've seen his attitude all year long that he and Bruce Weather aren't on the same page. We've seen it on the basketball court, and guys have called him out on it. So he hasn't started for a few games. Now he's back in the starting lineup. So I don't know if he's coming back or not. There's a lot of speculation that he won't, but hey, who knows what's gonna happen? He said his head is with his heart is with K-State right now. His focus is with K-State right now, trying to win ball games right now. And they're gonna try, obviously, to salvage the season here and fall behind 21-2 at Iowa State's not gonna cut it there in Ames, Iowa, right there. So Cartier Jada finished another game with 20 plus. I believe he finished the game with 24 points for K-State there and a loss. You cannot fall behind that far. I mean, that's just too much. Yeah, if you have a good basketball team with good defense, you can probably get away with that. But not here in this case here. You cannot get out starting blocks like that. That's inexcusable there. I know this team is young. Well, not real well. Young from a class perspective here. Yeah, you have a couple of veterans who've, outside of Xavier Sneed. Sneed has played, done what he's done. But McQueen ain't done shit. Cartier Jada's been up and down all year long. So you don't know what you're going to get from Cartier. Cardi and the other guy. Yeah, you got to play these young guys. Murphy has been good. Dejuan has been a yo-yo. Antonio Gordon has also been a yo-yo. I mean, yeah, you got to get these guys reps from here on out and get better, and we'll just have to see if it's, I mean, yes, we have a good recruiting class for next year and all this other stuff, but, I mean, McGurl is going to come back, I believe. McGurl's a junior, if I'm not mistaken. Mike McGurl, one of the guards now for K-State, so yeah, yeah, sorry to go on there for a little bit. That's just a miscellaneous item here today. I had two of them, and I can't think of it now, so that's quite unfortunate, but anyways, there's just a lot of stuff going on in that area. So put this in the form now on the NASCAR side, folks, to kind of tie this into the bow here. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3 duels. All right, so our episodes, the race reaction edition of the podcast, coming out tomorrow night, Tuesday night, back-to-back episodes of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, and then I am not going to release anything until it comes out. Obviously, Wednesday's episode will get you fired up. I was ready to run for my Bic Raw, and I'm going to have my reaction to it, obviously, which will include the reaction of the Daytona 500 next Wednesday night. Yeah, so there is that news. So Wednesday, yep, is the big special guest interview there, and that's all I'm going to say there. Stay locked in to your social media at EG3_Fast80 to see who it is. And man, this shoot right up to the top two favorite interviews since the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast was invented. Yeah, by me. That's for sure right there. And Thursday, the duels go down to set the rest of the field for the 500 there. And of course the trucks get on the way, kick off. Well, really actually do is kick off the rest of Speed Weeks. And then Friday night, the truck series on track. Austin Hill, upset winner a year ago, looking to go back to back at Daytona. 6:30 Central start, 7:30 Eastern time right there. And the Xfinity Series gets their season premiere underway. The Xfinity Series last year, Michael Annette put it on the field there. 1-2 finish for Junior Motorsports. 1:30 Central time, 2:30 Eastern time there. And of course, the, I almost said it again, the NASCAR Cup Series, Daytona 500, folks. 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 Eastern Time, the 500, the Super Bowl of NASCAR, caps off Speed Weeks. Who will get the big one on Sunday, and who will stay out of the big one? Because you know it's going to go down. I talked about it earlier. Yeah, you know my thoughts on it by now. Yeah, who's going to stay out of it? Who's going to put themselves in possession to win the Daytona 500 on Sunday? We'll have it all breaking down for you on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast weekly edition, obviously, on our usual day next Wednesday, race reaction edition of the podcast. Yeah. So there is that as well, folks. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast off and rolling. And yes, yes, shout out though. Gotta give a town shout out real quick to Harrington, Kansas. That's 40 minutes away from here. We got some listeners out there who tuned into the show when we pulled it up. The listeners, yeah, last night, Harrington popped up there. Up top, or was one of the top three, not going to release the top 10, but Harrington, Kansas, right there. So shout out to Harrington, Kansas. Do your thing. Tell everybody about the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Spread the word. Y'all know how it is. Dallas always on there again. And of course, Manhattan, top 10, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Spread the word. Manhattan, Kansas, MHK, get it done. Tell your friends. Tell them. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And loyal listeners, get the word out. Retweet it. Do what it is, what you do. And obviously, yes, folks, you should tell everybody about Wednesday. Wednesday is hot off the press. And this was already recorded on Friday, last Friday, prior to him flying down to Daytona Beach for Speed Week. So that episode is a must listen right there, including this one as well. Again, at @EG3_FastEddie. Again, at @EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. And then again, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You can find it wherever you download your podcast from. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and more. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Don't get left in the dust, folks. The regular season is upon us. We got racing all over the place this week, all week long, on Fox family of networks. Fox and Fox FS1, the trucks on FS1, the Xfinity series also on FS1 as well, culminating with the Daytona 500 also on FS1. I gotta double check that real quick. Big D, double check that before we leave here. And by the way, Big D, let's wrap this thing for the ladies and gentlemen out there who are listening to this podcast. Folks, you have been listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Thanks for listening to the race reaction edition of the podcast. You forgot about that, huh? Throw that in, snuck that one in there, folks. The reaction edition of the podcast. We did it last year. We're doing it again this year as well, folks. It is here. Finally, folks, here as Big D's looking, trying to look that up real quick with the thing not uploading. There it is, folks. So real quick here. Yes, FS1 Next Era Energy 250 on FS1. MRN has coverage of that. Then we scroll down here to the Xfinity Series NASCAR Racing Experience 300, also on FS1. And of course the big one on, yeah, everything is, yeah, that's what I thought. Fox, the Daytona 500, folks, on Fox. Big D, for thank you for hanging out with me once again on this Monday night here in February. Eddie Greer saying thank you guys for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Rate us, leave us a rating, and if you want to, leave us a review as well if you have time. But please, though, do rate us as well and leave us a comment if you want. And it definitely helps the show a lot as well. And it gets the word out as well. Tell your friends, folks. Tell them 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, Speed Week's Daytona 500, Sunday on Fox.
Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.